It would exactly be fair to say women were erased from Christian history, but that doesn't mean they weren't there. For the first 25 years, we did very well. We were there equally with men. But after about 25 years, in around 50, the middle 50s, Paul said that women were not allowed to teach in the church. And from that time, women became pretty well invisible and silenced. Now, it didn't happen immediately. It took about 300 years to silence women, but the principle was established back then. In the 4th century, then, another way of erasing women was with the fathers of the church, Augustine, Ambrose, and Jerome. They decided that the proper way for a woman to be a Christian was to be a virgin. And so all the resources and energy of the church went into virginity and women as virgins, and wives and mothers, who were the vast majority of women, disappeared from the story and were seen as a negative element in Christianity, as sinful, really.
I mean, even down to the extent that weren't women expected to go to the church and be blessed after they had given birth? You know, that was quite because they were unclean.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing to me that pregnancy and birth, I've never been pregnant, but it seems to me to be the most creative thing in the world. And women have never been able to express that experience, really. It's a very private experience, and certainly have never been asked to express it in a Christian way. And the church looks at that extraordinary experience and say, this is sinful. And that goes back to that fourth century attitude. And so they have had a blessing service to purify women after this thing. Now, the church since in recent times have said, no, it wasn't a purification service. It was a blessing for having come through the dangers. But this is a little bit of revisionism, actually. And I must say the Anglican tradition has a strong tradition of blessing women after birth. But most women that I meet of a certain age, I remember my own mother going with her when my younger sister was born in 1949. And she was embarrassed. And I, as an 11-year-old, was really embarrassed for her, even though I didn't quite know what was going on. And whenever I speak on women, invariably women in parishes who don't know anything about feminism or anything like that will bring up this topic as a very offensive moment in their life.
I guess they felt like they were being judged or something. I mean,
they felt that they were being judged and being judged unclean and being judged unworthy. And that what to them, and especially today when it's harder for women to get pregnant, like many women want to get pregnant and really have to work hard at it. And it's been medicalized to a large extent. They find that the experience of pregnancy is a profoundly life-changing experience for them, and certainly not a negative experience.
Now, this must be full of conspiracy theories. You know, I mean, why were women written out? Why did they start out okay and then get written out?
They started out okay because Jesus was an equal opportunity employer, so to speak. And seems to have included, well, we know he included Mary Magdalene. Whenever there's a list of male disciples, Peter is at the beginning. And whenever there's a list of female disciples, Mary Magdalene is at the beginning. And we have several lists of women who follow Jesus. So he seems to have been open to women and men followers. But as they began to think about who Jesus was and the notion of humanity and all that kind of thing, they couldn't include the notion of human, of female flesh in divinity. Like God is spoken of as a male, treated as a male, worshipped as a male. And we can make God nice and maybe even feminine, but we can't make God female. We can't include female flesh. So the crux of the thing is female flesh. And of course, the same thing applies to clerical celibacy. That's not about men's bodies. That's about women's bodies. Because the teaching was that women's bodies take men's minds off God. Like that they're dangerous and tempting and all that.
Well, even the idea that in order to be a spiritual and holy person, you have to stay away from women. You know, that seems to be summing it up.
Yeah, exactly. And it's saying some dreadful things about women. And it's saying that women are ungodlike, that they distract men and take men away from God. And it basically stacks up with the emphasis on God as male, even though everyone denies, oh no, God is not a man, God is spirit, but we have to talk about him as if he were a man. And so women, and the worst of it is then women internalize this and they don't see themselves as godlike, except God loved them for the medieval women mystics and for women mystics generally, and I think more and more women today. But we, deep down in us, is a sense of this, and I see this because a lot of women don't see the point. Like, a lot of women asked me why I would do, like, it's the only explicit workshop on women from a whole list of 15 workshops. And a lot of women wondered why there wasn't a workshop on men. And they really didn't understand me when I said, all the rest of it is about men. Because even when we talk generically, all the language is male.
A lot of people, you know, notice too that at Mass, the attendance is more women. And yet, at the same time, the whole church is dominated by men, for, you know, in the hierarchy and in the decision-making process.
I often think if the women went on strike, like if the women realized what had happened to them and went on strike, the church would close down, you know. And like, I think we're at the end of a male understanding of Christianity. Like, even men are not, like, they're not joining the priesthood. Like, there are all kinds of other crises. But I think the whole male emphasis on Christianity is coming to an end. It was powerful. It's given us great theology and all of that kind of thing. But I think if the church is going to be revitalized in any kind of exhilarating kind of way, then I think we have to plug in and get women to articulate. Like, that's the problem. Women don't have a voice. They have been silenced. They don't know what it is to speak about their own experience and reflect on their own experience in a Christian way, because they've never been allowed to do that officially. And so I think we need to begin to give women a voice and lead them out of their silence.